Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon. I want to welcome you to today's episode of the American College Experience. My name is Jason Haynes. I am the host of this show and also the Chief Executive Officer of our network. We're so excited that you've joined us live today, if that be the case, and also excited if you're listening to the podcast, which seem to be growing each and every week. I want to remind you that we do have over 1,600 hours of podcasted interviews, and these can be found on iTunes or also in the archive section of Blog Talk Radio. We suggest that you go listen to some of those interviews. We have been able to, over the course of 4 years, do some wonderful things here on the network by telling the stories that don't often get told, by interviewing the people that don't get a lot of airtime, and we're excited about that. I want to remind you that we do have other shows besides mine and would encourage you to listen to them as well. Lisa Goodman Stone does Parenting Aces on Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock Central Standard Time. Chuck Creasy comes on with American Tennis right before me at 11 o'clock Central Time. And then John Denise at 5:30 Central Time on Thursday has started his Florida High School Tennis Coaches Association show as well. If you have an interest in joining our network, just email me at jhaynes, H-A-Y-N-E-S, the number 10, the letter S, at gmail.com, and we'll see what we can do. I just want to remind you that you've got to be able to talk about tennis for an hour, and you have to love the sport. So I don't think that that's very hard. So we're always interested in opening doorways for people that have an interest in talking to tennis people. So email me if you get a chance. On today's show, we have head coach Jeff Marin. Jeff is from Liberty University. He coaches the women out there. And we're so excited that he's going to join us here in just a little while. I want to apologize today. I'm battling, a cold here. So if I sniffle and cough, I apologize. Wanted to let you know that we had a big tournament last week in the women's division of Division I, and I'm going to give you those results right after I go through the rankings. Well, maybe I should do the results first. The big result was that the North Carolina Tar Heels won the tournament. They were ranked number 3 going in. They won all 4 matches by a score of 4-1 or better. And now they have a season record of 9-0. They defeated Georgia 4-1 in the final. And Georgia made a big impression at the tournament. They defeated former number 1 UCLA in the quarterfinals and number 5 California in the semifinals. If you remember, Duke was the defending champion. However, Duke went 0-3 in the tournament and fell out of the top 10. Sounds like a pretty interesting weekend for the ladies. Always nice to see the rankings shaked up early and on in the season. Speaking of those rankings, coming out February 10th, just yesterday, North Carolina at number 1. Florida at number 2. And remember, North Carolina moved up from 3 to number 1. Georgia moved up from number 9 to number 3. UCLA fell from 1 to 4. Cal held steady at 5, Baylor at 6. Virginia moved from number 10 to number 7. Alabama moved from 7 to 8. Miami out of Florida moved from number 12 to number 9, and Stanford fell from 8 to 10. Stanford didn't participate in the indoors. So what does that mean? Out of the top 25, and we've talked about the Super 5 conferences, that means that the SEC has 8 schools in the top 25, the ACC has 7, the Big 12 has 4, the Pac-12 has 4, and the Big 10 has 2. And nearest I can figure the lone wolf in all this is Notre Dame. And we're excited to see that one of the independents out there gets some major votes. So, and then it falls to Pepperdine. So as you can tell, if you're not in the Big 5 conferences, then you have a hard time getting a national ranking inside the top 25, which to me is a little disappointing, but I can understand. I'm sure there are some great teams out there. It would just be nice to see a little more variety in that top 25 ranking amongst the conferences. But we'll see. I want to remind you that this weekend the men play, and we'll have the results of that tournament next week. No rankings for the men because, just like the women the week before, they don't put out the rankings prior to the tournament. I think I've got Coach Jeff Marin here on the line. I'm going to bring Jeff in. I want to remind you today that if you have a question for Coach Marin, that you call in at 714-583-6853. Again, that's 714-583-6853. Hello, Jeff. Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, very good to have you on the show today. It's a show that I've been doing for 4 years, and I've known you for quite a while, but we've never sat down and talked for a solid hour, so I'm excited about today's broadcast. And, Jeff, just let you know that there are going to be a lot of listeners that I have on the program that don't know a lot about Jeff Barron and don't know a lot about Liberty University, and that's why I was excited to get you on. So to start the show today, why don't you just give us a biographical leap into how you ended up at Liberty University?
Well, first of all, thanks for inviting me to the show. I was very excited about this. I've been looking forward to it all day. And yes, it's been a journey, a big journey to get here to Liberty. I've been in tennis for quite some time. I started off in the club business, running tennis clubs, director of tennis at several different clubs in Kentucky. And also started a couple of smaller colleges, a D3 program and an NAIA program, a men and a women's program, and dabbled in that a little bit, but spent probably close to 15 years in the club business. And then just really felt like I wanted to get back into college coaching and had an opportunity to go out to Dallas and be the assistant coach at the University of North Texas with Coach Sujay Lama. And Sujay is a mainstay in tennis. He's coached a lot of pro players in the past. He was assistant coach at Florida when they won a bunch of national titles, and coached Illinois to a top 20 finish. I think he coached there for 8 years before coming to North Texas. And we came in together at North Texas and coached there for 6 years and took a program that was not very good, putting it nicely, and took it up to a top 50 program. I think we were as high as number 40 D1 team, and so we were very proud of the progress that we had. But I wanted to have my own program. I wanted to do my own thing, and I always enjoyed starting programs or starting clubs. Club situations. I had started some dormant clubs before and then kick-started them and built them back up. And so I just really liked the process of growing something. And so I just was looking for a program that I could do that. Liberty was an option for me. It wasn't an option before because there's the coach who is now the men's coach was running both programs. But 3 years ago, Liberty decided to split the program. And so Coach Johnson took the men's program, and that opened up the women. And I saw that opening and really was very interested in it. I had heard about Liberty liked what they stood for and the growth that was occurring here on campus. And so I went after the job and became one of the candidates, final candidates. And while I was interviewing, I asked our athletic director, Jeff Barber, I said, you know, is there a ceiling on my head? Is there anything in the way of me being able to grow this program very similar to what we did at North Texas? Because I want to be a top 50 program. And he said, absolutely nothing. There will be nothing in your way. So I was very excited about that. And, you know, long story short, I got the job, and this is my third season. And we're well on our way towards moving towards that goal.
Jeff, you've been a kind of a small college guy leading up into these Division I opportunities. I mean, you played some small college tennis at the NAI level, right?
I did. I played at Thomas More College, which is in Kentucky, but it's just right over the river from Cincinnati. And it was an NAI school that was pretty decent school when I was there in terms of tennis. They were, you know, a top 25 type of NAIA team. And I had not played tennis as long as many of my peers had. I didn't start tennis until I was 13 years old, played other sports, and so kind of came on late, but just fell in love with the game and ended up going to Thomas More and really enjoyed the process of playing college tennis, just all that it entailed, the practices, the conditioning. Of course, it's nothing like it is now, but loved it all. And I was fortunate enough to play in our national tournament every year and be a nationally ranked player in NAIA. And so, yeah, just loved the whole aspect of it. And at that time, I didn't even really understand what the difference was between small school, big school. I was playing college tennis, and that's what I was excited about. And really enjoyed playing and wanted to stay involved in it.
That seems to be an attitude that you bring to, whether it be at North Texas, which is where you and I ran into each other, or being in a club pro, is not a real big difference. Is that kind of your philosophy here?
Well, that's the way I want it to be. You know, I don't want to say, well, you know, because I'm not Stanford or Florida or Georgia, I'm just this little guy. I don't really want to think like that. I never have actually thought that way. I've always enjoyed just, you know, setting goals and going after them without thinking that there, you know, are giants in my way. In fact, you know, if I do think that there's a giant in my way, I get excited about that. You know, I don't really shy away from those types of things. And so, you know, playing in a small school, coaching small schools, you know, starting late in tennis myself and having to play catch up with some of my peers who, you know, were already nationally ranked by the time I was starting to play tennis, you know, those types of things to me were exciting. You know, they were challenges. They were fun. I couldn't wait to get out there as a kid and play those kids who had already received recognition. And I didn't think any less of myself. I just thought it was exciting. And then same thing here as a coach, you know. I love going out and playing the bigger programs, and I love being a part of a program that I know is on the rise and continuing to grow. So, yeah, I think my personality suits where I am very well.
Yeah, now you didn't wait long there when you got to Liberty. You had an immediate impact. I mean, hired in 2012, and then if my research is right, you started to do real well in the conference, 13-5, is that right?
We did. We had some good success early on. My first year was interesting. We had to kind of change the culture a little bit, and my coaching style and what I wanted to do was a little bit different than what they'd experienced, and so things had to change a little. And we actually started off. I didn't have the chance my first year to recruit anyone. I came in late, and so we started off losing a good number of our first matches, the first part of the season, and then we had to make some changes. We actually my top player, you know, was really not getting with the program, so I had to let her go about six matches in. And but instead of it that being a bad thing, it turned out to be a great thing. And the team just understood where we were going. They saw the professional approach to things, and they just really bought in at that point. And we just kind of took off from there and just started winning. And we had a pretty good first season. We finished in, we lost in the semifinals of conference, which we really had not gotten that far very often. I think maybe the program had done it once before. And so that was exciting to have that kind of growth. And then the second year was even better. Last year, well, you know, we did much, much better. We had, I believe, finished with 15 wins, which was a program best, and another semifinal conference. And we also entered the national rankings last year, and that was the first time for the team to ever do that. So good things have been happening so far.
Yeah. Now, Jeff, let's talk about Liberty University. Where is it located, and how many students do you have on campus?
Well, it's in Lynchburg, Virginia, and Lynchburg is kind of in the middle of the state, sort of in the middle of the state. It's about 3 hours south of D.C. It's nestled in the Blue Ridge Mountains. It's very scenic, very beautiful. My wife was extremely happy to come here. She came sight unseen, and when she drove in and saw the mountains surrounding the city, she was like, "You brought me to heaven." And she was really pleased with the look. Of course, you know, Dallas is a little bit different. It's pretty flat. And yeah. Virginia and especially Lynchburg is very, very scenic, very outdoorsy. And so it's a beautiful place. The campus is state-of-the-art, gorgeous campus. We have about 14,000 students on campus. Our online program has over 100,000. So if you add up all of our student body, we're a top 10 program in the country in terms of number of students. What that really means is that we financially we're in really good shape. So we're moving forwards very quickly, growing the campus, building buildings, constantly building buildings. We're in the middle, actually, of a $500 million growth. Where we're adding new buildings and new things, not fixing things, but we're adding things that will add up to $500 million with. We started it last year, and we'll have a couple more years to go before we finish it. But it is absolutely amazing. And I think the thing that's really interesting is for Liberty, and for those who don't know Liberty, is first of all, they're going to know about Liberty pretty soon, but Liberty's only been around for about 43 years, and that is not very long as most universities go. You know, most universities have been around for 100 or more years. And when I first arrived, one of the interesting things, Jason, was that the athletic director told me that the NCAA did a study to try to find out, you know, when did the name schools become name schools? Like, how long did it take from the time they were founded to the time that everybody knew who they were? You know, the Notre Dames and those types of schools. And generally, it was between their 40th and 60th year of existence. It took that amount of time just to really kind of establish themselves on a national scene. And we're right at the beginning of that phase. We're in our 43rd year. And so it's just an exciting moment for us because we know what's going to happen. We know how things are growing, that there's really nothing that's in our way. And, you know, our facilities are state of the art. You know, I'll put them up against any place in the country. And so it's just a wonderful place to be right now.
Hey, Jeff, with 100,000 students, that's got to offer some diverse degree programs there. So when you bring a student on campus, a student athlete, what are some of the degrees that you highlight that they might consider?
Well, we do have a wide range. I mean, we have degrees in the medical field. Of course, our business department is awesome. We have, and of course, because Liberty is a Christian university, we have, you know, degrees that if someone is interested in being involved in some form of ministry, we have that as well. But very diverse programs that are offered and available in terms of you know, counseling, sports psychology, kinesiology. We have a law program here if you want to get your degree in law. Like I said, we have a medical program here as well. There's many different variety of things. We have a huge art department where people are who want to major in different forms of art. We have that here as well. So it's very diverse. Our master's program is very extensive. So you can just continue to develop yourself educationally, you know, all the way through your bachelor's, your master's, your doctorate program. So there's many things, many areas that are offered for the student athlete.
Jeff, you guys go by the mascot of the Flames there at Liberty. I'm curious, so what kind of facilities do you have?
Well, in terms of just our overall athletics, we have our basketball facility is called the Vine Center, and it holds about 10,000 students. We also, I think our volleyball is also a part of Vine Center. They use the Vine Center as well. We have 20 D1 programs here, and every program has their own facility, from our lacrosse to field hockey. Our softball stadium is being built. It's part of this addition, $500 million addition, and it will be ready here within the next month for our softball season. It is, by some of the magazines, to be the best softball stadium in the world at this point. I don't know a lot about softball, but I will tell you this, Dot Richardson is our coach. Dot Richardson is the Michael Jordan of softball. She won a couple of gold medals for the USA team. She also was Olympic coach, and she was also Olympic broadcaster. She's the who's who of softball. And she came here, and when she came 2 years ago, she said, "I'll come if you'll build me the best softball stadium in the world." And so we're doing that, and it has 1,500 seats. I don't know how many softball stadiums have 1,500 seats, but it also has suites and it has a media section that's state of the art. It has indoor heated bays for batting cages. It has everything that you can possibly have. And I've seen a bunch of softball stadiums just going around different universities. I've never seen anything like this. This looks like a huge baseball stadium. And our baseball stadium is also was a top 25 baseball stadium, as voted on by some of the magazines. It has 2,500 seats. It's beautiful. It's only a year old. It's part of this addition that we've had. And that goes along with our baseball team, which is also a top 25 team, D1 team. And our golf is, we have a golf facility that I don't even know how to explain. It looks like the White House. It's beautiful. And our golf team is usually nationally ranked every year. I believe they're nationally ranked this year too. I could just go on and on. We've got a new training facility that's being, it's going to be broken ground here soon. It'll be ready within about a year. And it's a 65,000 square foot training facility. Our athletic director went to Baylor, A&M, and one other school, I think it was Texas, to check out their facilities. And so he decided to look at what they have and then better that. And so when you walk into this facility, I've seen the blueprints. You walk in, it's all marble and glass, waterfall coming down off of the second floor, huge training area, huge academic area for tutoring and different things. It's just going to be beautiful. Our football facility is amazing. We've got about a 22,000 seat stadium. Our goal is to move into a bigger conference within the next year or two. And when that happens, they're going to add 10,000 seats to it. It has room for a 60,000 seat stadium. So that's eventually where it's going to go. But right now we're in the 20s and we'll move into the 30s when we get into another conference. I can take the whole show talking about our facilities, but that's just part of what we have to offer. But, it's pretty good.
How many courts do they give you, Jeff?
We have 12 outdoor courts, and we have our own building for tennis that includes offices, lockers, stringing room, training room. And it's just for tennis, men's and women's tennis team. And then we also have an indoor facility that has 5 indoor courts. So we have 17 courts at our for our teams.
That indoor facility's got to be great for the weather and scheduling early matches in the spring.
It is. It's a nice thing to have. We don't usually have to use it in the fall. Unless it rains, we don't have to go inside. The weather is good all the way through. And really, our cold months are January and February, and then after that, we're back outdoors. So, in fact, we usually start going outdoors towards the end of February. So we have about a 6 or 7 week indoor season. So it is nice to have the the indoor facility, and we use it when it's necessary, but we also try to schedule some away trips to Florida or somewhere south where we can practice and play outside in those months as well.
Yeah, now speaking of scheduling, Jeff, and I want to move into that, your team played 5 tournaments in the fall. In a lot of my interviews, a lot of coaches have different philosophies, but you don't seem to shy away from playing fall tournaments.
No, I like fall tournaments. I don't want to feel like we have a big gap. I want them to feel like we're continually growing and getting better, and I think tournament competition helps us to do that. So I try to make sure that we put some fall tournaments in there that are going to challenge us and push us. All of the girls on our team, from the top players to the bottom players, just to play as many matches as we can possibly play. But I try to space it out. I try to make sure that we have a couple of weeks of practice in between each tournament. It's very similar to probably what I did when I was younger, where I played a lot of tournaments. I love playing competition. So I set it up in a similar fashion where I love having a few weeks of practice, but always having a goal and saying, okay, in a couple of weeks we have this tournament. And this is what we need to get ready for. These are the types of players we're going to probably compete against. So let's practice with that thought in mind. I just think it just adds to the overall improvement of the team when you have goals that are right in front of you, as opposed to saying, okay, let's get ready for something months away. Let's get ready for something that's a couple weeks away.
As a coach in those fall tournaments, what are some of your goals? Are you trying to find roster spots, doubles teams? What are your goals?
Well, I think as a coach, I have a number of goals. Those are some of them. I'm certainly watching each player and trying to determine, where I think they fit in. So oftentimes what I'll do is, most of these tournaments are flighted events, and so I will often put my players in different flights. So maybe I'll put someone who I might think would play 5 or 6 on my team, but I may put them, in the second flight and see how they play against players who are maybe the number 3 or 4 players for another team, just to find out where they fit. Can they compete at that level? Can they do well? Or I may take someone who is towards the top of the lineup and put them down a couple flights and say, can they play against someone who is consistent but maybe doesn't have the same amount of pace to their shots, and how would they handle that? So it's a learning thing for me as well. They're getting a lot of repetition, a lot of practice, a lot of competition, but I'm also learning about them and what they can and cannot do. One of the big things for me is doubles, and I spend the whole fall moving people around and figuring out who plays best together and what personalities work well and what styles of play work well with each other. And so, I tell them up front, first meeting, I said, you're gonna play with a lot of different partners in the fall. So just expect that. Even if I find a good pairing, that's great and I'll take note of it, but I still want to see you play with other people. And so, it definitely is an opportunity for me to learn a lot about my team. And they learn a lot about me too. They learn about my coaching style and what I'm looking for.
All right, now moving from the fall to spring, Jeff, do you bring your kids in early for the spring semester?
I do. I bring them in about a week early, so we have a full week before school begins. Usually my first event is either the weekend after school begins or 2 weeks after school begins. So we have a couple weeks, 2 to 3 weeks of practice before our first match. And I think that it just helps when I bring them in a week early. There's really no one on campus. It's just us. We can really concentrate on practice, focusing on getting better. Maybe if there's a little bit of rust that they bring back, we can get rid of that rust. And then also just to kind of hang out together. We'll do things outside of tennis, get something to eat, go to a movie, come over. We'll bring them over to our house and just have a team event at our house. I think it's just important, a bonding. It's a bonding time as well as, getting out there and practicing a little bit ahead of time. So, I do like to do that. I think it's important for our team and our camaraderie on our team as well.
Now, Jeff, your team is off to a great start here in the spring. You've only had one loss to Florida International. It seemed like a barn burner at 4-3.
It was, and I still think about it because even though it was a couple weeks ago, and it was one of our first matches, we really had the match in hand and kind of let it slip away. And FIU is a very good team. I've played against them a number of times when we were at North Texas. In fact, they were our rival when we were at North Texas. They were always a ranked team. We were a ranked team and battling for conference titles with them. And so it was kind of fun to get back out on the court against them. It was three matches apiece, and the last match was on the court, and we had every opportunity to win that match. Just came up a little bit short, but it was a great experience for the girls because they learned quite a bit about what it takes to win against a strong team. And there's a lot that has to be said about, the technical and tactical part of things, but it's the mental game that really stood out to them in that match. And they realized that they came up a little short in that area. And so we've spent a lot of time here in the last couple of weeks talking about and practicing the mental game. And it's helped us in our matches. We've done really well in the close matches we've had after that one.
Jeff, when you set up the schedule, do you do this to where you encounter some of these Division I's that can give you a hard time and use them as sort of a temperature gauge for your team heading through the season?
I do, yes. I'm not a coach who is looking to pad the stats. I don't really care to finish the season, having a certain number of wins. That's not really what's important to me. So I do look to play teams that are going to push us and beat us. If they beat us, that's okay. I'm not a coach that gets upset with losing because I know that there's a lot of value to it. And yes, I love being challenged, and I love playing teams that will push us and force us to play our best. And if we don't, then it gives us an opportunity to learn and to get better. So, FIU was our first big test, and it was very valuable for us. It helped us to win our next big test that we had a week later, and then this weekend we had a big test and played really well. And I think it was partially attributed to the FIU match. So, and of course, each year I'm looking for those types of teams, And I've already completed our schedule for the next year, and there's a lot of teams in there that are going to push us.
Good. Now you, as the Liberty Flames, you play in the Big South Conference. What other schools are in the Big South?
Well, in the Big South, we have, I guess our biggest competition is Winthrop. Winthrop is a ranked team, and they've just been solid for many, many years. And so that's the team that we kind of, they set the bar for our conference at this point, and we're trying to get to that point, and I think we're getting close. Another team that has done really well is Charleston Southern. They are well coached. Both Winthrop and Charleston Southern are well coached teams and have had success not only in our conference but at the national level as well. And so those are the two teams we really try to go after. Coastal Carolina University is a very good team in our conference. They keep getting better every year. We've had very tight matches with them. Campbell is an excellent team that has a lot of international players on their team that just are fighters and really battle hard. And so we've got some teams. We've got about 10 teams in our conference that are, they're all good, solid teams. And I think Liberty is probably in the top half of that group that is, considers themselves, all of those teams, to be teams that can win the title.
Now, explain to me now the Big South. You have a conference tournament at the end of the season. Does that qualify you for the NCAA 64?
It does. That's the carrot that's sitting out there in front of us, and we do have an opportunity to get into the NCAAs if we win our conference championship. So there's definitely that's the prize. That's what we're looking for every year, is to be able to compete for that and have a chance to win. Our secondary goal is to get into the national rankings and climb the rankings. So we do have that as a goal as well. Those are our two main ones. We want to win our conference championship and compete in the national tournament, and we want to climb the national rankings.
Now, does the conference allow you to play each of the teams within the conference through the course of the season?
Yeah, our conference requires that. So we actually have to play all of our teams in our conference. So we have 9 conference matches. We generally play them towards the end of the season, usually in March and April. And then our January, February, for the most part, is comprised of non-conference matches where, you know, we're trying to play as many top teams and ranked teams as we can. But we do play all of our conference teams each year.
Jeff, when you look at your roster, you're a pretty diverse kind of guy. You go all over the United States to get these kids.
Well, we do. We've spent a lot of time traveling. We spend a lot more time traveling with recruiting than we do with the team, I think. When you look at all the trips we take throughout the year, including in the summer, and we do go all over the place. We try to hit all of the major tournaments and even some of the smaller tournaments as well. And we've traveled overseas as well. So, recruiting is a big part of it. We're not restricting ourselves to one area to recruit from or one style of play. We look at our goal for recruiting is to look for the best possible player that we can get. And we don't shy away from recruiting against top programs. And we're really excited about what we have to offer. So we'll go anywhere that we need to go to recruit players that we feel would be a good fit for our program.
Now, you only have 2 internationals on your team, a lot of coaches, they'll load up those rosters with heavy internationals. So can you explain your philosophy behind that?
Yeah, I'm not really against international players whatsoever. Of course, at North Texas, we were primarily an international team. We had some American players, but more international than American. And here at Liberty, it's kind of the opposite. Again, my philosophy is to recruit the best player wherever that person may be. If the person is in Virginia or California or Germany, there's not a restriction for me in that area. With that said, it's certainly easier to recruit American players, and there's just a lot less red tape. So in that regards, it's a nicer thing to be able to recruit American players. And plus, at the same time, I love being able to give American players the opportunity to play D1 tennis. If an American player is someone who I think is going to come in and really contribute to our program and help us out and help us to achieve our goals, that's the person I want to go after. But if there's a person in Germany that is also interested, then we look at that person as well.
Yeah, now it sounds like you use those internationals as a catalyst here to help with some of those American players. Is that the case?
Yeah, it can be that way. I mean, like, for example, we have a girl on our team. Her name is Belen, and she is an international player. She's from Bolivia, and she had a good ITF ranking. She was a good player. She had beaten some girls who were top 10 in the world ITFs, and so she's just a solid player, and so she comes over here and brings credibility to us and helps our girls to see that, hey, this is what we can aspire to do. They were like, well, okay, this is a person who has put a lot of time into her game and she works really hard, and so let's work a little harder. Let's push ourselves a little bit better. And so I think, when you get the better player, the better the player that you bring into your program, the more it inspires those who are currently on the program. And so you're going to get the best out of them. And that's kind of what's happened. Last year I brought in 4 new players, and those 4 players, inspired the returning players. And everyone got better. It wasn't just the new ones. It was the returning players that improved. They were pushed in practice more than they had been. And so it's a positive, whether they're international or national. If you've got a good player coming in, it's only a plus for the team.
Jeff, you've got a lot of help out there as well. I noticed that you have yourself, an assistant coach, and a volunteer assistant coach. This is a lot of eyes on the one team.
It is, and it's really nice to have a whole staff. I know that we're fortunate and we're blessed. Not every program has the opportunity to have a whole staff to work with one team, but that's really the way it is. You know, it's myself, my assistant coach, Giancarlo Lemmy. He played here at Liberty, and he's an outstanding coach. He's amazing with his ability. He's a little bit younger than me, which is good. I think it adds some perspective, and we balance each other really well. And then our volunteer coach, he's a grad assistant here, a graduate student here, and Seem Toos, and he was a top ITF player. He played here also, and played a little bit on the pro tour. And he's an excellent player, also excellent coach, has a great insight into the game. And of course, we have, you know, a whole host of people who are surrounding our players all the time. You know, maybe not just on the court, but maybe in the training room. We have, you know, trainers, and we have our conditioning coaches, and we have our, you know, our director of operations who helps us to, you know, plan our activities and plan our travel trips. And, you know, we have a whole group. We have our academic advisors, and just it's a staff, it's a team of people who are here to kind of help the girls be the best that they can be. And our joke around here that we tell the girls, or we tell the recruits when they come in, is that, you know, if you come to Liberty, you're going to have to want to fail to fail. Because there's so many people here in place and so many things here in place to help you succeed that, you know, if you just put the effort into it, you're going to succeed. But, you know, you'd have to really want to do bad and try to be bad, because there's so many things here that can help them succeed in life.
Yeah, now that was going to be a question I had, and can you help me understand how that the kind of the Christian philosophy helps with that? Maybe you already have. By declaring, you know, it takes a village there, kind of a church-type atmosphere, you know, just forgive me for not understanding, but it seems to be the case that everyone at the university really cares. And so how does that Christian philosophy help you out?
Well, I think that when a recruit comes here to campus, you know, whether they have a Christian faith or not, they see a caring group of people. And it goes from the janitor who comes up and says hi and talks and how's your wife and that type of thing to the president, you know, who knows you by name and, you know, hey, great match the other day. And, you know, our athletic director who comes out and hits tennis balls with us. And so I think it's a team effort. And I think the Christian aspect is appealing to many people, because when they come on the campus, they have this feeling or this sense that it's a very caring university. It's people who, you know, appreciate each other. And, you know, you can't walk around campus and hear people, you know, just bashing other people verbally, or, you know, cursing each other, or, you know, just speaking negatively, or, you know, not looking at you when you walk by. You know, when you walk down the sidewalks on the campus, people are smiling at you. They're waving, they're saying hi. You know, it's pleasantry all over the place. And, so when a student comes here, they just feel a lot of peace. They feel appreciated. They feel calm. They don't feel like they're under pressure. They don't feel tense. They don't feel like, man, I need to get out of here. They don't have that feeling. You know, it's a feeling of, you know, I feel like I'm at home. And I think that goes a long way when you know that you're going to spend 4 years of your life someplace. It's a nice feeling to know that you're surrounded by people that you want to be surrounded by.
It definitely helps in all of the arenas there, it sounds like, Jeff. Now, you had mentioned earlier in the conversation that Liberty has some ambition to move into a new conference. Any conferences in mind?
Well, I don't know if my athletic director would want me to say, but, you know, we do have some, it's bigger conferences that we're looking at. You know, in our conference, our athletic program has dominated the Big South for quite some time now, a number of years. We have a thing called the Sasser Cup, which is given to the athletic program that, you know, does the best over the year, over the course of their sports. And we win that most every year. And so, you know, we're just looking to just expand and to continue to grow. And we have the facilities to match, you know, programs that are in bigger conferences. Our financial situation is first class. And, you know, we really feel like we want to be in a bigger program, in a bigger conference. One of the things that our founder said when he was starting Liberty was, he said, you know, we want to be able to use athletics as a platform you know, to let people know about who we are. And he said, my goal is we want to be the next Notre Dame. And we know it takes time. It's not going to happen overnight, but that's where we want to go. And you know, Jason, it's really moving in that direction. You know, everything that is happening is pushing us there. And so whatever conference that we can move ourselves into and that we can grow into is that's going to help us. We know we're going to be able to help that conference as well.
Yeah, it really sounds like it. Over 100,000 students, you've got a lot to offer a lot of these bigger conferences. And like you mentioned, you're in that period where your name starts to take hold and become associated with some of the bigger names out there. That leads me into that next question, Jeff. I mean, we've been talking a lot here on our program about these Super Five conferences and how they kind of wear the big boy pants and they were given autonomy. Does that affect your school at all, or how do you, I mean, you've got to keep up with that stuff. How does that affect Liberty?
Well, actually, it's a good thing for us. It challenges us to want to be able to use the resources we have to be able to, you know, maximize our gifts, you know, what we have available to us. We believe that our university and what we are about would fit well with the bigger conferences. Now, we're not there yet, and I don't expect that, you know, one of the Power Five conferences are going to give us an invite to come in there. I don't know that that's going to happen right away. But we're trying to move in that direction. You know, we're not interested in just saying, oh, we're happy to be Division One. We want to be at the top of Division One. And so when the Power Five conferences, you know, have autonomy in these areas, we look and say, well, how can we get this too? And you know, without giving away secrets, we are moving in the direction to where whatever the Power Five can do, we're going to be able to do in the near future, very near future. And so we're excited about what we're able to offer our future student athletes.
That's outstanding. You know, and one other thing that we've been talking about are these scoring changes, Jeff. Have you been playing this new format?
Well, we have. Yeah, we've been doing it. Probably a little abbreviated sometimes. We've had some matches where, you know, we didn't clinch the doubles, for example. We just had to let them play it out. But basically, we've been doing no ad, no warm-ups with opponents. Just all of the little nuances there of the new format. We've been doing it.
Now, let me ask you, and we'll take each one of these individually here. This no warm-up between the teams, is that a big deal or not?
Well, it doesn't seem to be as big of a deal as I thought it was going to be. When they first said it, that you're going to do this, I just rolled my eyes and I said, how can you do that? You know, you need to be able to hit with your opponent, you know, just to get a feel for what's going on. But as we've moved on, it hasn't been as big of a thing as I thought. So I've kind of changed my mind a little bit about this. I still don't, if I had to vote for it or against it at this point, I would still vote against it. But yeah. I see now that maybe it's not necessary to have a 10-minute warm-up, you know, with your partner if you've already warmed up with your team beforehand. Maybe a 3-minute or 5-minute warm-up would suffice. But I have changed a little bit my opinion about that.
Let's take that doubles. I personally was not a big fan of shortening it from 8 games to 6. I just think that doubles is an important part of the college dual match. How about yourself, Jeff?
Well, I agree. I don't like it. That's the part that, to me, is the worst part, is just playing one set. And we've had some sets that we have played this year so far where the match would last 25 minutes. And
oh, my.
We have a couple of players, you know, if it's a 6-1 or 6-2 set and it's over in 20, 25 minutes, and because it's no ad also. And so we have a couple of players who sometimes they only play doubles. So they practice all week long, 4 hours a day. They're doing tennis and conditioning so that they can play for 25 minutes on a Saturday. And then they have to get up and do it all again the next week so they can play another, you know, 25 to 50 minutes. And I don't know that that's a great student-athlete experience for them to do that. And so for that reason, I don't like that. I like the eight-game pro set because at least it felt like they were playing a little bit more of a match. It was maybe a set and a half in equivalency. And I just thought that that was a better experience for the athletes. And it also forces players to, just to have longevity. The stamina comes into it. Strategy comes into it a little bit differently. It's a totally different match when you play an eight-game pro set in terms of strategy and tactics than if you're just playing one set.
I couldn't agree more. And now this last one here, the no-ad scoring, have you become a fan of it, or are you still more of a traditionalist with the ad scoring?
Yeah, I don't really like it. I'm not even sure how much time it saves, maybe a little bit, but not too much. The thing that really bothers me is that oftentimes, you know, one point is deciding things too often. You know, it's too many sudden deaths. In D1 tennis, especially, you know, if you're playing ones are playing ones, twos are playing twos, you know, there's a lot of games that go to deuce. And so you're having sudden death points all of the time. And I understand that they wanted to play no ad to enhance the experience, you know, of coming to a college match and watching a college match. But, you know, I'm just not sure that is really doing the trick. And so I think that, you know, it just really kind of affects the match a lot. We've lost some individual sets and matches this year because we maybe lost four or five deuce points, maybe off of a let court or something strange, and it's just it doesn't even seem right. It just seems like, well, they should have played another point. They should have had an add in or add out point after this, and so I don't know that it's the best thing overall. I would still vote against it.
Well, it seems like that these changes were made for two distinct reasons. And number one was to get more tennis matches on TV. So how many Liberty tennis matches will you have on TV this year, Jeff?
Well, we won't have any on ESPN. I think maybe a couple of schools have some ESPN 3s. But we do have our own TV station that goes out on cable. In fact, it goes over 90 million homes through a number of different cable stations. And we do televise a couple of tennis matches each year. And we have commentators, and we have usually four or five cameras out there. They make a big deal out of it. It's a lot of fun. They have a pre-match show and post-match interviews. And so the girls really get a great TV experience. So it's fun. But it's also done by our TV, you know, our TV station here on campus. And so the girls experience it. But at the same time, they certainly didn't have to change the format in order for us to have TV time, you know, for Liberty right. to have TV time. It wasn't necessary. So there are very few teams that are going to benefit from the idea of switching the format for TV.
Well, Jeff, the other thing that drives this decision, in my opinion, is it seems like there's a distinct move away from player experience and a distinct move towards fan experience in these changes. Am I wrong in this or right? I mean, as a coach, are you losing player experiences on the court because of these scoring changes?
I think so. And I don't think that in terms of fan experience, I don't think it's making much difference. I really don't think that the fans notice a difference. In fact, some of the diehard tennis people who have come to watch matches, when we told them early in the season the format changed so that they understood what was going to happen, they just kind of rolled their eyes and couldn't understand. They just thought it was a travesty. It didn't make sense to them. The tennis fan that comes out who maybe doesn't know tennis as well but is, you know, there to support their university or friends, they don't know the difference. They don't really see that there's any difference. So it doesn't affect fan experience, I think, at all. In terms of player experience, it does affect them in a negative way. Like I mentioned about doubles, you know, there's some people on our team, if they're doubles-only players, you know, they're just not getting enough of a feeling of being a part of the tennis match as they once did when they were playing pro sets. And then no ad is just sometimes it's very frustrating for the girls to be playing and competing and battling hard and in a tight match and then, you know, maybe lose a deuce point on a fluke shot or something where it just, you know, it's like, you know, hey, I just lost this game or this set, and it really doesn't seem like that should have happened at this point and in this way. And so I think the player experience has diminished.
Yeah, and I've noticed this, and, you know, I want to ask, I mean, of the three different changes that were made, Jeff, would you keep any of them long term?
Well, you know, maybe the no warm-up, you know, or not warming up with your opponent, I could live with that. And, you know, that saves a little bit of time. I don't really understand why we need to save that much time. It doesn't save a lot anyway, but I could live with that, that experience. To me, and this is what I said to, you know, the different committees when I, you know, put my two cents in, is I said, you know, if you want to change the experience and make it a better experience and make tennis, college tennis more relevant, it starts with the actual team themselves and the university itself to be responsible enough to have a good fan experience, you know, to promote the matches and to have an experience, bring out the band, bring out the mascot, bring out, you know, give out freebies, throw out free t-shirts, have some sort of a fan experience in between doubles and singles. You know, there's all kinds of things. And we did that at North Texas and had huge crowds, you know, coming out. Well, huge for tennis. I mean, we had sometimes upwards of 500 people that would come to our matches. But that's because we had all kinds of things, and we worked really hard to make that happen. And so I think that it really, you know, the onus is on us to be able to do this. I think that one of the things that would be great is if NCAA allowed us to start playing music in during the matches, you know, even during points, and do different things very similar to what team tennis does. I think that those types of things would increase fan experience. You know, baseball, when you go to a baseball game, they're always playing music, you know, in between pitches and in between batters. And I think those types of things can be added to tennis and would really spice things up a little bit.
Jeff, I know you've got practice today. What are you going to do at practice today?
Today is doubles day. We are focusing on doubles. I saw a couple of things in our last match that we need to work on, just in terms of different formations that we need to get a little better at. So we're gonna spend some time working on our net play in doubles and working on our formations, making sure that we're better in that area. And then we're also going to work on having better return of serves in our doubles today. So we're going to be specific on how we're returning, whether we're playing a server who comes to the net or a server who stays back. We're going to practice on those different types of returns.
Now, how long is that practice going to last today, Jeff?
Well, today is a little bit different day. We actually it's 2.5 hours. The girls come out for individuals, and so I didn't come for the individuals today. My other coaches are doing those. So they usually come out for individuals beforehand. And then we have a half an hour of conditioning. Our conditioning coach comes out and does on-court conditioning for half an hour, and then we do tennis for 2 hours. Our practices are just a little bit shorter in the spring just because we play a lot more. Fall, we have a little bit longer practices, but that's basically what we have today.
And you guys are getting ready for a match here in a couple of days, right?
We are. We have a Saturday match against an in-state rival. James Madison University is coming to town. I think it's going to be cold this weekend, so I doubt that we'll play outside. We'll probably be in. So we're practicing indoors today and for the rest of the week. And but James Madison is a well-coached team and a very, very solid team. And so we've got our hands full playing against them. So we're looking forward to having some good practices here the rest of the week to get ourselves ready.
Now, that's a Valentine's Day match. Any special activities planned out there on the court?
Well, the girls don't know it, but we have a few little things that we're going to bring. Some Valentine things we're going to give to the girls, and we're also going to do something for our visiting team as well to help them out, because I know they're traveling on Valentine's Day, and so to kind of make the day a little bit special for them as well. And so that'll be fun to kind of just have a nice Valentine's event. And then, of course, afterwards, my wife says it's her turn, so I'll take her to dinner after the match.
Well, very good. Well, Jeff, I appreciate you coming on the air today and talking about your program. It sounds like you guys are moving in the right direction.
Well, thank you, Jason. I appreciate it. We are, and we're looking forward to the future of Liberty Tennis. It's a bright future.
Well, I think that everyone out there should keep up with you guys. It seems like that this move from a smaller conference to a big conference, amongst other things, Jeff, you're doing a great job out there.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Have a great day at practice.
All right. Thank you, Jason.
Yes, sir. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's head coach Jeff Marin. Jeff is the coach of the Liberty Flames in the Big South Conference, and I want to thank him for coming on the air today and sharing his viewpoints. As I mentioned, that Jeff and I knew each other from his days there at North Texas, and he recruited a couple of our players to come over there to North Texas, and one of my girls had a great experience out there, and know that they helped him get that national ranking that he was talking about. So just excited to have him on the broadcast today. Now, next week we're going to have a little different approach here. We're going to the JC level. We're going to have Coach Brian Slack. Brian's going to come on from ASA, and they are the top team in the country and defending national champions. So we're going to have a good, strong visit with him and see what's up with his program, and I look forward to that. So if you want to meet us here next week, that'd be great. And for all you that can today, get out there and hit some tennis balls. And if you can't hit some tennis balls, go see a college tennis match. Take care and have a great day. Bye-bye.